The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
The Frank is on. The Frank is on. The Frank is on.
And if you missed that,
The Frank is on.
I'm Frank Cotolo for The Dummy's Guide to the U.S. Let's look at America, a country so rich in natural resources that American people throw out more good things each day than can be made in China in a dog's age. Speaking of dogs, as you travel this great country, you will see many different species of dogs, some owned by people and others strays that wander the cities and countryside looking for food. Hungry, though, is something no American state lets you become if you visit. Unlike being one of the too many Americans who go hungry every day, visitors can eat until their hearts are content or thoroughly congested. Either way, every state from Oregon to Virginia and the others I have left out is stocked with all the food you want, even if it is Chinese and not American. Accommodations in America are everywhere, and just about all of them have beds. So, staying overnight between days is not only fun, it's costly. You can stay at hotels, which are large and usually have elevators, or you can stay at motels, which are small and usually have bedbugs. But whatever you stay, and wherever you stay, and whatever you do, you can be sure it will be one more night in this great land. If you like to swim, try staying somewhere that offers a pool. If you like to dance, try staying somewhere that offers alcohol. As for children, bring them along when you travel across America, because we have Mickey Mouse. That's right. At the original Disneyland in California and the subpar, highly overrated Disney World in Florida, you can spend almost every dollar you have doing great things with the kids while loving the frolicking little mouse created by Walt Disney himself. Kids also love America's wild, wild west, although it has been tamed since the days men went around shooting each other and leaving dead bodies to rot in the sun. There are remnants of the colorful days of cowboys. Learn about how these men paved the way for a justice system that even today has large holes in it. Visit great states like Oklahoma, Wyoming, and Texas. America is a great place to visit, and remember, you don't have to be smart to have a great time. I'm Frank Cotolo for The Dummy's Guide to the U.S.
Look out! Because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, here it comes. I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this. Wait. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on! Everyone! You will be there. And we will be there with you. When you are there. What is it?
Cotolo Crackles.
Wake up. It's night.
You never know. This show is like everything in your life. You just never know. So don't go away. You'll never know. godfather of internet radio. Internet radio? Internet broadcasting? Alternative broadcasting? What the hell do we call it anymore? The point is, I'm the bard of broadcasting, all broadcasting, wherever being anything is being broadcasted. I'm the bard. I'm the one who puts it all together, and I'm the only person who can get you through the next 2 hours. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. Cap to Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Wake the hell up, because it is night. Wherever you may be listening, it is night. It's always night somewhere. And it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. What? Without a metaphor, what do you got? What do you got? You got Cthulhu Chronicles filled with metaphors, assimiles, assimophores, and mimerales. I couldn't put that together there for a second. I'm the godfather of the bard. I'm the most fascinating man. I am the difficult historian. I'm the third man and the vegetable man. You know, it was atmosphere that kept us with a couple of reruns over the past couple of weeks. If you have been listening and going, hey, what the heck? I heard, hey, what the heck are you talking about? Or if there was something that was out of sync with what's happening in the world, not that we do what's happening in the world, but then you hear something you haven't heard, but then you could hear something you heard already. Because why? Because, oh, come on, man, I'll push that to go. All right, we still need a little, oh, yeah. Still need the fan. But believe me, it's nothing like it was when we couldn't be here, because we would be literally just drenched. But it's good. It's good because I've been on a diet. Thank you very much. And losing some weight. Thank you very much. But you want to lose weight this way. I never could understand. Only once in my life have I been in one of those steam rooms. Hot room, those hot steam rooms, or the sweat havens, or the sweat cells. That's what they should call them, a sweat cell. Only once, and I hated it. I hated it, not because I had eaten a liverwurst sandwich before going in. You really want to get sick. You know, you really want to get sick? Yeah, right, I'll tell you how. Like, you know, like, you're not going to get sick. You want to get sick. You know, I got to get sick today. I think, what should I do? Jeez, I wish Frank was here to tell me how to get sick. You know, you can have a liverwurst sandwich. Using thick slices of liverwurst, rye bread or heavy Italian bread. You could use Italian bread. Or what? Just big, thick, like Texas white bread. You could use that too. And eat that, and then don't wait like a half hour, or wait a half hour, even if you waited 3/4 of an hour, and then did yoga. Yeah, I'm telling you, the nausea, you would be so nauseated in no time, and you would not think that if you know yoga. Because yoga is, staying still. It's, you know, yoga is not like, you know, like have a liverwurst sandwich and then do push-ups or pull-ups on a bar or climb a rope, you know, up to the ceiling. Did you ever do that? I tried. I never did it. I fell and was falling too. You know, I couldn't. Mr. Block, the gym teacher in high school, well, junior high school, actually, that was even worse. In junior high school, made us try to climb this rope, real thick rope. It was one of the things you did in physical education, which wasn't called physical education in those days. It was just gym, right? And Mr. Block, who, this guy, even when he shaved, he had the dark face where his beard would be. So in other words, I always thought men were cursed if they had that so-called 5 o'clock shadow, which of course meant that, you know, you shave in the morning and then by 5 o'clock you gotta shave again. That's how quickly your facial hair grows, right? Mr. Block, who at that time was already, I don't know, 50 something. I don't have a gauge. I don't even have a sense of how old my teachers were when I was in like junior high school. I don't have a sense of how old, because they were just so old. And they weren't. Okay. I'm older than probably most of them now. Okay. But what I'm saying is that if you try to climb this rope, okay, barehanded, mind you, barehanded, and Mr. Block doesn't give you a chance to fail, you know, it's not like today or the last couple of years where I hear, you know, teachers have been, I don't even know if they have gym anymore, they'll call it physical education. This was a huge gym at Shallow Junior High School. I mean, it's huge. And by huge, it wasn't, it was, the ceiling was really high. So this rope, you would have to, I don't know what you'd have to do, because I never got up there. I saw a couple of people make it. A couple of guys made it to the top. But they were all the real strong guys. I was pretty puny. I was pretty, but puny. That's what the girls used to say. Hey, here comes pity, but puny Cotolo. And, but everybody had to try. All right. So I did. I tried. And there was no way of getting out of that the way I got out of some things. Because I could cheat my way out of lots of physical entertainment, physical, you know, activities. I could cheat my way out of a lot of them. And Mr. Block, you know, you could fool him. He had too many kids to watch, so here and there. But you could not fool anybody with the rope. Because you're going up the rope with your bare hands, you know, and you'd usually use your leg and wrap the bottom, the part that you've climbed already that's at your feet because you've already gotten that high, but which could be like right off the floor too. And you just kind of use that to, you know, squiggle. Is that the word? Squiggle up or, you know, squirm up? I don't know. Squirm or slide? You can, no, it's not sliding because you're going up. Totally against gravity, and even if you're puny, pretty puny, and puny and pretty, even so, it's difficult to your own weight, to pull your own weight up to the top of this huge ceiling there. Huge. And by huge, I mean high. And, I mean, the whole place was huge, but and it was a basketball court. I mean, regimental, is it that the word? Regimental-sized basketball court in the junior high school? And the ropes there were a couple of them. I think there were three or four ropes. So three or four guys could try to climb. I say try because, you know, there were some kids who were, and poor guys, you know, they were bulbous is what they were bulbous. They were big. And they forget it. And he would miss the block. What a son of a bitch. He felt that just push. Push, 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 rah, rah, rah. I don't remember his voice at all, but it would eat into your, it's like that thing in Star Trek, you know, where Khan put the thing in their ears, that little crawly thing, you put it in their ears, it'll go to their brain. That was Mr. Block's, voice. It's like, oh God, you know, this is not helping me climb, you know, I gotta concentrate now above his voice, cause he's going, oh, come up. Go! Move it! Like, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm going slow, Mr. Block, because I love this so much. I want the experience to last. And it wasn't why. It's because I couldn't do it. I didn't have those kind of muscles. And I gotta tell you something. I was puny, but I could do things like I could throw a ball. I could throw a football. I used to play, go out to the parade grounds with some guys and we used to play tackle football. And we had the, you know, the helmet and the things and the stuff, and then kids were tough, because there was no referee, and there was nobody there saying, you can't kick that kid when you knock him down. You know, this is Brooklyn, New York. This is tough stuff, right? But so I was, you know, I can handle, a certain amount of rough and toughness, okay, that I had, but nothing compared to my peers, because they were, you know, all these guys. So getting up, I never got up there, and the highest I ever got, on the ropes, the highest distance I ever attained on the ropes was, I don't know, somewhere near 3/4, but it was terribly frightening because I knew I couldn't pull myself up any farther. I couldn't do it. So that meant I had to negotiate the rope holding to get myself down. You know, it's not just jump, okay? You know, you're supposed to climb up and climb down. Now, climbing down meant strength and using the same muscles. In other words, you would think like, well, you know, what's going down? You slide down. You couldn't slide down. Now you burn your hands. Your skin would just, maybe it wouldn't make that sound, but it would really be terrible. And you'd, hurt yourself and your legs because, you know, there's nothing you don't have no pants on. You didn't have no pants on. I didn't have any. Nobody had pants on. We had these stupid, ugly shorts. God, I hate shorts as it is, and I hated shorts. I never wore them when I was a kid, and I hated to wear them in gym, but I had to. Because Mr. Block had, he used to walk around with this stick. It's like a drumstick, right? And everything he said and talked about, he did this, you know? So, he's doing that. He's climb, come on! He'd be hitting something on the side there when climbing up. Climb, come on! Let's go! Why on earth did I start talking about climbing the ropes in gym? I'm completely lost with that. But what I did was I did not make it down without A, burning some of my hands, and B, eventually jumping. At which point, that's not good, no good, you're going to have to do it. I'm not doing it again now, that's it. You know, I'm not doing it again. I didn't say that to him, I didn't confront him. You know, like that. I just didn't do it. I just went, okay, all right. And he's in such such turmoil taking care of all these kids. He goes, all right, just next. Okay, you fail. That's it, you know. And then, so I couldn't do that kind of stuff. But I can get you through the next hour and 15 or some odd minutes right here. It's Cotolo Chronicles. I'm the only one who can get you through this, especially since we have no guests. And I guess, was I talking about the heat? Was that it? And at least it doesn't smell, you know. Oh, that's what I was talking about, being inside one of those steam cells. The steam cells. Oh, God, that's getting nauseous. So if you were to eat and try to climb the ropes, you'd get nauseated. So that's what I said. Yoga is not like that. You get into a position, you stay very still, and it takes muscles to stand still. To some of these yoga positions, okay, they stretch your muscles, and the best way too by I'm not putting down yoga because I think it was great. I used to do it every day years. When I lived in California, it was years. Anyway, I had my own little blanket. You're supposed to have your own little blanket, a candle. I went the whole Alan Watts route of doing it. You can say route of doing it. You know, did it exactly as I should. And I had this huge, if you said you want to get nauseated, that's what this is all about. So I got nauseated sitting, doing nothing but sweating in the steam cell. Is that called the steam room? I forgot the exact name for it, but I've got so sick. It was so horrible. And just like I guess it's Freudian, I don't know, but you get these particular good or bad sensations in your life, and they stick with you even though they're not exactly replicated in other situations. So when it gets really, I never liked the heat in the first place, then I'm in the steam room. The steam cell, you know, and, more than being uncomfortable watching other guys in towels, nothing but towels, watching their towels, you know, fall or doing whatever they do, especially, you know, well, anyway, I just didn't, you know, that was uncomfortable enough, but getting nauseated is sick. Uncomfortable, that's even worse, right? So it was very much like that here a week and two ago. I think we did 2 weeks of reruns thanks to Phil Honk. Thank you very much, Phil. And so if you went to Juice Talk, you said, hey, there's nothing new here. But, you know, once in a while, you stations, you guys, you know, throw an old one on. You can do that. I mean, we'll let you do it. It's all free anyway. You could do it. You could put it on and run it backwards. Well, I don't know if your audience would like that, but so we will, we're starting here again as we go, into September, shortly, and trying to, although I hear it's going to be hot again next week, you just don't know. It's been such a, fiery, summer, not just like in California of the U.S., where it's literally, fiery, not just that, but it being, fiery, steamy, I don't know what it is. Some people, like my good friend and ex-partner, Thomas Savino, love the heat. How could you love the heat? I don't know, but I think it might have something to do with a situation that happened to him or anybody, like I said, when you're younger and, you feel good. So later on, you don't have that particular, you go into that atmosphere of that original event. And you feel good and you like it. So you find a way to replicate how you feel good. I'm not a shrink, but if you know me, and you don't, because if you did, we'd have talked already today perhaps or sent an email, but we don't. Or, you know, then you know that I don't like the heat. I am into this. I like the Freud stuff because it makes so much sense in every day of my life, knowing people or having known people, knowing people and the people I will know. So as past, present and future, they're taken care of. Even though there is no future, there's only now. Always now, I can see. I can understand. By see, I mean understand how people are behaving, why they're behaving. If they tell me things like that. So that was the case with the heat. And so being down here, whether I had a guest or not, the most recent guest I had was Olympia Lapointe, a terrific guest. I hope you all went to Mathathon or something like that. Mathathon and Always, I forgot the one, Always, whatever. Great stuff. Olympia, not Olivia. See, I did it again. Olympia Lapointe. And the future of, when the future is now, but I mean, you know, when we have the Thursdays, we're going to have some other guests here and there. The guest train has not stopped going from station to station. If a station is a week that we're on and a show that we're on that week, then station equals show. Okay, just remember that. Write it down. Get yourself your pad. So I said, yeah, no, today nothing but me. As Kurt Brando would say, it's a drum solo show. Just me. So, I'm the only one who can get you through these 2 hours. I can't hand it over to nobody. Or I can't tell you, hey, why don't you go listen to this or listen to that? They're not going to get you through these 2 hours. These are my 2 hours. And my name is Frank Cotolo, and I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show, Cotolo Chronicles. Now, you may go around the interweb searching for places, because we're on lots of different stations here and there, like the wonderful True Talk Radio reruns our stuff twice a day on weekdays. And we're on a number of other places, Georgia, United States, Ukraine, isn't it? Is Georgia? No, it is Georgia, Ukraine, and Russia. I don't know. There's a lot of places that we're on. And you, once in a while, you're going to stop and it's going to say The Cotolo Chronicles. And you know, I don't know where they got that. Cause I have been saying this for years. There's no the. Cotolo Chronicles is a sentence. I'm Cotolo and I chronicle. Wait, what's Cotolo doing on that show? Cotolo Chronicles. See? Hear it? Can't see it. Hear it. Speaking of seeing. Oh, did I bring that down? Oh, don't tell me I didn't do it. I was going to bring down my Android. I could always run up and get it. It's one of the things we were going to do. Check out. I'm going to check, it's not a podcast. What am I talking? Periscope. Check Periscope every now and then. And, see what's going on there because it's a crazy place. And it's, and there's a lot of people there. Everybody has a show. So whatever your name may be, Chronicle. All over the world. This is a map. You know, I did a show on Periscope. By the way, if you want to hear some past shows and you're not hearing them on other stations, like I told you, when you look up, Google Cotolo Chronicles and see some other stations, then you only hear it live here, only live at SRN on Thursday nights. And the Thursday nights are not Thursday nights in other countries. Couple of months ago, I've lost track of, well, you know, even when I didn't miss a week, a couple of years I never missed a week. I don't know if there was a couple of years. I'm not like Lou Gehrig. he's now coming out of broadcast training. No, I have been on for all this time. There's been no straight shows. I might have done 20 or 30. So I don't know. I don't know the record. I don't know what record anyway. Straight shows live, you know, without a rerun. Or a few times I was sick and I couldn't do it from a hospital, or, you know, I've done them sick. Done them? Dunham, that's the man who brought the big ape here. That's Denham. I've done shows ill. Many of my shows have been ill. I've been sick in themselves. No, I don't, you know what I mean? The few times I had been in hospital, I didn't do it. I thought about it. I mean, there were other things I did, because once I had a laptop. All right, once I had a laptop, what a laptop it had been. But, you know, on being on all over the world a couple of months ago, I was watching Trumbo again, the movie Trumbo. God, I love that movie. I love that movie because it dramatizes a wonderful time, one horrible time, not a wonderful time in the history of America. I mean, a horrible time in the history of America. During the blacklist of Hollywood, where everybody, you know, the whole community, the creative community split into those who the government, this is the United States government. You know, here we are talking about Russian infiltration over the web and cyber stuff. This is when they were ruining people's lives. The United States government, Americans, all right? Americans standing up and going, you know, and being sickingly, nauseatingly, is that a word? Patriotic, or using symbols for patriotism instead of what it truly means to be free, using freedom, which involves, you know, protest and as well as it does joy and appreciation. You can appreciate that you are able to protest. But the blacklist, the Hollywood blacklist, the Hollywood 10, and the Dalton Trumbo, who pretty much broke through that thing, and Eugene McCarthy. He was a good guy. What was it? Joe McCarthy. His name was Joe. Joe McCarthy, a senator who wanted, had a committee and tried to get people with, you're a communist, I love that one, communist, and then ruining people's lives. And Dalton Trumbo helped save the writers, and that's, of course, another reason I like it, but also because Cranston, it's not his name. His name, Brian Cranston? Is that his name? Just terrific as Dalton Trumbo. When people were using, the point I'm trying to make here is I was watching that, and I've seen it a number of times, so I put it on the middle, because I can do that with movies I really love. I can put them on any time during their running, so I don't have to look what's on. There's a movie I love to see. I can pick it up from, I can do that with books too. I do that with books too. And I hear that that's something people can do with books. A lot of people, you know, artists or writers can do it with books, and movie people can do it with movies. But I had talked about, I haven't even done a commercial yet. It's okay. It's all right. You know where I'm going with that, I'm sure. I'm watching that and let me write down some random thoughts here. As CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com. And this is kind of old school stuff, because I'm old school for me dates back to the beginning of broadband, when we started the show on Amcast.com many years ago. As the first live talk show on Internet broadcasting. Back before, yeah, old Bam. You hear that, right? But I was talking about the fact, where is this? I have it here. What did I do with it? Ah, here it is. I was talking about the fact, and I did a couple of funny little, well, they weren't funny, they were serious. I did little openings for this show in other countries. And I just did it at random. And I said, you know what, I should do one show. I said, one of these shows I should get, I should do an opening. So, like, let's say they're listening. It's Copenhagen, Denmark, okay? In Denmark, Copenhagen, specifically Copenhagen, you know? And this show, right now, they could be listening in Copenhagen, but it's not this time, say. It's another time, and it's probably another time. I don't mean it's like 1820. I mean, it's a different time zone. So the show is going to begin, if I'm doing it live, of course they could always, you know, pick it up at Juice Talk like everyone and do it. But when they want to hear it live, they can pick it up live. But it will not be on, you can't pick it up live at their 9 p.m. because this is this 9 p.m. Their 9 p.m. is another p.m. So let's say in Copenhagen. So I did, I think, in Moscow. And I before I looked up the times, I just figured, well, it's early in the morning. And I did these openings with music in the background. And I was hoping that those people in those countries would take that part of the show, you know, and use it as the introduction to the show. And then just hit the rest of the show or play it. Let's say I do a minute. I just think they do a minute and a half as an introduction. Well, they could do a minute and a half as an introduction and then put on the show. See? Then click into the show. And it would sound, you know, this is always done back in the days of syndicated radio. People did custom lines, they called them. Custom lines. You're writing this down, you radio historians? You broadcast boobies? You boobs? You broadcast boobs? Did you write this down? Write this down, said Dr. Fablianek. I shouldn't wreck my voice at a singing gig tomorrow night. How good that's going to do. I'm going to have to bring everything down a whole key. You know, because it's dry. I did have water. No, I don't. I don't have water. I had coffee. I didn't see. I broke my own rule of having three beverages here. Don't have three beverages, so I could replenish my precious bodily fluids. Well, maybe I, you know, I'll run a little music or something. We've got to get a bottle of water. I only have 72 bottles of water upstairs. Oh, 72 bottles of water upstairs. 72 bottles of water. If I should drink one, 71 bottles of water upstairs. 71 bottles of water upstairs. 71 bottles of water. If I should drink one, 70 bottles of water upstairs. 70 bottles of water upstairs. 70 bottles of water. If I should drink one, 69 bottles of water up there. And I'm not gonna. Did anyone out there ever do that stupid song? Or hear somebody doing that song? I think it's called 100 Bottles of Beer. And you just, that's what you do. You just sing that. Minus one beer and then go down to no, there are no bottles of beer on the wall. See? Beer, on the wall? On the shelf? On the table? I don't know. Beer on the wall? What was it anyway? Beer on, didn't you put beer on the wall, bottles of beer on the wall? Could you? Yes, you can. I mean, if you have a shelf, you know, one of those things where you slide the bottles in. Bottles of beer on the wall. It was wall. It was bottles of beer on the wall. Now, after all these years, and there have been plenty, I'm wondering if that was it. 100 bottles of beer. Wait a second. We need to find this out right now before we continue. We got plenty of time right here, Cotolo Chronicles. Don't worry about it. Here, we didn't even play that other thing. Okay, let's just look at this. I'm gonna go to the magic land of YouTube, which is free. I know it's. I can get in with my. Who owns it now? What password do I use? My Microsoft password? Yeah, I think, I don't know, even know, I have to look up these lists in a book. What am I looking for now? Oh, I think it's called 99 Bottles of Beer. Here it is. It's on the wall. It is. Now look at this. This is what it says. The ultimate beer song. Here's one by Zane Williams. I mean, unless they show me a commercial. No, here it is. He's not going
to
do it.
On a day hot enough to make the devil cuss, what? I walked into a bar so thirsty I was spitting
this
dust.
This is an
barkeep asked me, what'll it be? I said, what you got?
What?
He said, well, let's see. We got Lone Star, PBR, Rolling Rock, Shiner Box.
Oh, I never heard this.
Low duels, Heffenbeisen,
this isn't it.
Keystone, Coors Light, Coors, we got Red Stripe.
Wow.
Amstel, Amsterdam, and the Tall Can, Michelob, Miller.
He's not doing
it. Glass, Doppelbock, Lager.
Okay, we don't have to. It's not a music show. No, it's country. A country music show. Where's this 99 bottles of beer on the wall? This could be it. Maybe this is it. Here's a guy holding a Corona out of a can, drinking. Puts the can down. Is he going to sing it?
99 bottles of beer on the wall.
It is
99
wall.
Bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around.
Oh,
98
take
bottles
one
of beer
down.
On the wall.
98 bottles of beer on the wall. 98 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around. 97 bottles of beer on the wall. 97 bottles of beer on the wall. 97 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around. 96 bottles of beer on the wall.
You get it?
This is how. Oh, sorry.
96
I'm back. I'm like, I'm drunk. Oh, now he's going to drink one. Good. Is this 15 minutes long? He does.
Take one down, pass it around. 95 bottles.
Let's go ahead now. Where is he?
See, bottles of beer on the wall.
How many?
60 bottles of beer.
60.
Take one down,
turn
it around.
59 bottles of beer on the wall.
58 bottles of beer on the wall.
59 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around. 58 bottles of beer on the wall. Okay, I guess he does the whole thing because I'll go towards the end here. What's he up to?
27 bottles of beer on the wall.
27 bottles of beer.
Take one down, pass it around.
This guy, check it out.
26 bottles of beer on the wall. 26 bottles of beer. Take one down. Pass.
See how he ends it here.
Let's bottles of beer on the wall. Six bottles of beer on the wall. Six bottles.
No, come on here.
Down, pass it around. Three bottles
of
beer
on
the
wall.
Wall.
Two, three. What?
Three bottles of beer on the wall. Three bottles of beer.
Let's see how he ends it.
Take one down. Pass it around. Two bottles of beer on the wall.
Two bottles of beer on the wall.
Two bottles of beer.
Take one down. Pass it around.
One bottle of beer on the
wall. Here he goes. End it. How do you end it? Now he picks up the other can. He's singing bottles and he's got a can of Corona. Okay.
One bottle of beer on the wall. One bottle of beer.
Yeah.
Take it down. Pass it around.
What? What?
No more bottles of beer on the wall.
That's it? Wow. This guy, let me give you an idea of this culture these days. This guy, does it have the name of this guy? Newberg BMX. I don't know what that means, but this guy, and he says subscribe. What are we going to subscribe to this guy? No, this guy does other stuff? I don't know. I finish either the beer or the song, but not both. Take a guess. Says Newberg BMX. What does this guy do? Who is this fellow? He decides to do, I don't know. Anyway, that's the beer on the wall thing I was talking about, which I fell into there while we were talking. Okay, so what I was saying is that the shows that play live in various parts of the country, even if they don't play live, okay, even if they, just pick it up as they do at juicetalk.com, where you can hear it and download it and do what you want with it, too. In those particular countries, I should have custom openings. And so I did a few and I didn't realize anything. I just said, one of these days I'm going to look up the actual time zones, right? I'll look up the time zones and I will, do it. They'll say, hey, okay, if you're listening in, and let's just do one here now. I'll show you what I mean. We'll do one right now. I got a hope. So I did look up. I looked up a bunch of them. Said, well, if they're listening in Kabul, like let's do this for instance. If they're listening in Kabul, Afghanistan, it's already the 24th of August. It's the 23rd live as we do it here live. So what I would do is, let's see, I would go to, on my YouTube, let's see, Afghanistan National Anthem, okay? Yeah. I mean, what the heck, right? Afghanistan National Anthem. And it's called Millie Sarood. That's how you say it. If you're a buckaroo from America, hey, play that Millie Sarood, will ya? Hey, Millie Sarood. So here's another. Ahead, that would be how many, 8 hours ahead. So I have to do this custom thing for Radio Afghanistan, right? That's what we'll call them all. It'll be Radio Bolivia, Radio, okay, they'll be called. I'm gonna write that down. So I just realized we'll do that. Here, it's Cthulhu Chronicles on Radio Afghanistan. See? So I just used Kabul as, because that's the capital. I just used it as a spot in Afghanistan because I had to find Afghanistan at the time. All right. So I'm just assuming. I don't know if they listen to us. I know they used to listen to us in Iraq. So I'm sure because they kicked out all the bad guys in Iraq and they went to Afghanistan. And I'm sure that's where they hear them now. Okay. So I'm going to put the national anthem of there's two of them. Remake. No, here's the original one. We don't have to play the whole thing. And I'm going to do the opening of this show. See, they're not going to hear. I can hear my theme or the little junk that I do in the front there or, you know, talking and the junk about, you know, this, and then the Frank is on, Frank's on, nothing. This is the way it's going to open up in Radio Afghanistan. This show, I'm going to do a couple of these, right up to the top of the first hour that we finish, and then we'll move on to some other stuff we're going to talk about if we do that. Otherwise, we'll do whatever we want to do. But this will be fun. You'll hear. Let me do it. Here we go. Afghan National Anthem. And let's see. Okay, it's going to start right here. And I'll do it. This is the opening of Cthulhu Chronicles as they hear it at 5:30 a.m. their time. That's their time, obviously. Oh, no, my time. I'm not on. 5:30 a.m. Let me turn the fan off, yeah. Hold on. I want these guys and gals over there in Radio Afghanistan to get this really pristine. Here we go. Okay, come on. Okay, come on. Okay, here we go. Good morning! It's Radio Afghanistan presenting Cthulhu Chronicles! Hello, Afghanistanites, and welcome to the great talk show that nation after nation after nation listens to, Cthulhu Chronicles! I'm chronicling for you and for everyone in Afghanistan. Everyone, those of you in the hills, those of you in the sandy, dusty streets, those of you in the clay houses, those of you in the more expensive houses, and those of you in the government who are usually in the expensive houses. Afghanistan, we love you in Cthulhu Chronicles. Here we go with another great show for all of you. All right, okay. So then that doesn't, yeah, I got it. Well, we'll fade it. They'll fade it out there. So I gave them a little room to fade out there. So that's how the show starts, let's say, in Afghanistan. All right? I know what you're saying, thinking. If you're radio-minded, you're going, but Frank, what, every morning it's going to have the same opening? Yeah. Yeah, why not? It's like I could do commercials for them, too. I mean, little spots they can put in during the day, you know? Like, I'll just give you an idea, but I'll run the rest of this here, and they'll tape it off of this show here, like here it goes. This is Radio Afghanistan, and I'm Frank Cthulhu, the host of Cthulhu Chronicles, right here on Radio Afghanistan. Keep listening, where we'll keep talking. Okay, so that's great. So they could use that now during the day, you know, when during the Ahmad Afghahad show, you know, they just stick that right in there, and they know it at 5:30 in the morning, wake up, you know. I didn't do anything about breakfast. I didn't really, you know, I just wing it, see. And of course, you know, they could always get in touch with me and go, hey, we like that. Why don't you do another one? And I'll do it for them for nothing, because that's what this was all about from the very beginning. Okay. It was about broadcasting, chronicling things, doing this free flowing show from the beginning, many, many years ago. Let's find another place. That's Radio Afghanistan. We've done that. Let's see. Check that off. Now, you also learn, what you do is you learn the national anthems of these very distant countries. Unless, of course, you're in them, then they're your home countries. Let's try Bolivia. Oops, that V still doesn't work on that, huh? Bolivia. Bolivia national anthem. Ooh, with lyrics. No, I don't need lyrics. Here's the Bolivia national anthem, or a lot of it. It's called the Himno Nacional Boliviano. Here's how it opens. Oh, you want to know what time? Same thing. It's 5:30 a.m. in Bolivia. The same time. Well, how could that be? Oh, no. Oh, it's the same time as us. Really? Bolivia is the same time as us. Well, why would I do that? Oh, it's, no. It's 5:30 a.m. No, it's the same day. Wait a second. We're ahead of them? I think this might be a mistake. Maybe we should go to Copenhagen. Let's go to Denmark. Forget about Bolivia. Denmark. Here we go. National anthem. Here we go. Instrumental. That's good. Then we won't have singing. Here we go. The Denmark national anthem. And Cthulhu Chronicles starts at 3 a.m. Okay? So people who are getting up really early, because what do they do in Denmark? I guess they have early people. And maybe their post office opens early. Maybe. Oh, I'm sorry, but they're going to get the... I can't get the fan again. Okay. Otherwise we're going to be nauseated. We don't want to do that, huh? Because it's still, isn't that wild? What is it? Late here too. And now there are no big way. You can't open those windows, you know, otherwise these huge, oh God, these gigantic bees, they eat their way through the screen, and it's terrible. We can have, like, you know, and then, it's dangerous. More dangerous than being nauseated. Where am I going? Denmark. It's the next day. When we're live, the next day, if they pick this up and do it at, it's 3 a.m. So it's before breakfast, unless you have very early breakfasts. Let's give it in here. Here comes. Good morning, Denmark. Great to be back again. I know, those of you who get up early, those of you who need your big, strong brew to get you going because you start early, it's me, Frank Cthulhu and Cthulhu Chronicles. Yes, I'm speaking your language, even though I don't speak your language. Here on Radio Denmark, it's me, and it's another Cthulhu Chronicles. So here we go, with talking, with guests, with commercials, and everything that makes Denmark great. We may even have some cheese. Stay with us! Okay. I almost did it right to the post. You know, post is where, you know, something stops or hits or a beat comes in. So that was good. That was Denmark, 3 a.m. in the morning. Now that I've done theirs. Okay. My friends in Tokyo. Now in Tokyo, we're very big in Yokohama. From a long time ago, I don't know anymore. There used to be a fan club, Cthulhu Chronicles fan club in Yokohama. I don't know how many people there were. And they used to go, this is the truth, the God's honest truth, I swear. I kid you not. Some people who knew English, okay, because of how I speak, and this originally started in Spain, but they picked it up in Japan too. Because of how I speak, the dynamics of how I speak, the rhythm, the stops, the goes, the highs, the lows. Okay. Because of that, some people, I mean, that alone, without knowing the language of English, people laughed at this because it's musical. It's got a beat. It's, you know, they're like, that's a funny man. Of course, that was not, oh, funny man. That's not giant. I don't even know how to do these. accents, and when I do them, they sound racist. I'm sorry, I don't mean that, because I love all these people in the world. They're playing my show. Oh, don't they're playing my show. You know they're playing my show. So, let's do Tokyo. Tokyo, it should be Japan, not Tokyo. Tokyo doesn't have a national anthem. Japan national anthem. Here, I don't know if it's instrumental, but it's Japan national anthem instrumental. Here it is, right here. I got it. It's only 59 seconds. So it's going to be Hello Japan. And of course, you know they're loving there because I'm the author of the, still to be published, original epic comic novel, The Complete and Unabridged History of Japan. You want to know more about it? Write to me at fcatolo@yahoo.com. This thing is not, published anywhere, but it's but you know, who knows? I might be able to get you something for a price. And now I'm selling the books from my own cart now, not even on Amazon. Okay, here's the Japanese. Here's how the show opens in Japanese. Now it's 10 a.m. So I wouldn't have the breakfast crowd, and I'd be, drive time is over, and morning drive time is over in Japan. Where I am sitting right now, there's a 13-hour difference from here to Japan. 13 hours. 13 hours. 13. I like that rhythm. Here's how it sounds. But it's, of course, it'll be the next day. So we're going to do now here. Hello. This is how Cthulhu Chronicles, they can make it start. They can make it. Make it. That's the way. They can have this show start in Japan this way. Now you Japanese who are listening, in Tokyo or Yokohama or, any other places, Kyoto, I know a lot of places there. This is, what you do is, you'll hear it, take it out, record it, take it out, cut it, edit. You know, you have the fantastic equipment, you make it. You're probably making it in factories in your country. Something that can completely edit and do whatever you need to do. Okay, here we go. Japan, Cthulhu Chronicles. Wake up. It's morning. It's midday. Mid-morning, I mean, here. Mid-morning in Japan means Cthulhu Chronicles. And we're here to talk you through from now till noon. Noon in Japan. I love you Japanese people and you know me. I know the truth about the history of Japan. I'm Japanese. We're all Japanese when Cthulhu Chronicles on Radio Japan. Stay with us. This is for you. That's the weirdest. It's hard. It doesn't even have a melt. I don't mean to say this here. I know my Japanese friends listen. I mean, it's weird. It's almost it's not melodic. But the whole of Japan. But there it is. And that's how it opens up. In Japan, see, I said midday, I meant mid-morning. But you know, they may go, this is a very good idea. And then ask me to do it again and I'll do it. You know, they could send me a script. They could send me the lines that they want me to say at the beginning. Look at that. I didn't look up Scotland. I know, but we could do, now we have to do Scotland. Let's do another one because we have the time. We have to know the time. New Delhi, I wrote down. It's 6:30 a.m. the next day when we're on live in New Delhi, India. India! So let's go. India. India. India National Anthem. India National Anthem. Indian. Oh, yeah. It would be Indian. They call it, that's right, Indian. India National Anthem. Here's India National Anthem. It doesn't have a name. Jana Gana Mana. Is that the name of it? Jana Gana Mana? Jana Gana Mana, days to say, Jana Gana Mana, I heard it today. Jana Mana, no, don't, well, you could, if you want that too, you can have it. I just don't have any more lyrics. I just put it into another song. Let's do the opening of, the song of the show in India. I say it like the British used to say it when they, before Gandhi took care of their asses, huh? India. And when they were walking around, go say Ganga Din, you're a better man than I, Ganga Din. Here we go. Oh, it's early. It's early in India. And that means Cotolo Chronicles. I'm Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I'm chronicling for all of you Indian people. Radio India, it's time for Cotolo Chronicles. Stay with us for 2 hours of talk. 2 hours, no cows. 2 hours, wonderful stuff. It's for you on Radio India. Now that, you see what happens? I don't know if I think that was probably rude to say something about the cows, but it just came to me and I'm doing this ad hoc. It's giving them all an idea though, what to do. You know, you could take that out or they, again, you program directors now in Radio Afghanistan, Radio Bolivia, Radio Denmark, Radio Japan. I didn't do Greenland. Wow, Greenland. Yeah. 11 p.m. in Greenland. When this show is over live, it begins in Nuuk, Greenland. I don't even know that's how you say it, because I don't know Greenlandian, the Greenland. What do they speak in Greenland? That's a good question. You know, any question you can ever answer is on, you know, to Google or the thing. You just write in the question. What language are they speaking? And something comes up there because, you know, there's no more school. Your school is in front of you. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. It's on your Android. It's on your, you know. Should we do another one? Oh, wow. Zambia. 3 a.m. It's also 3 a.m. in Zambia. Oh, I was going to do, 9 a.m. in China. I don't have to do this on your time. I just thought it would be fascinating for you to hear it. And apparently you are fascinated. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I'm going to let that there go. So I did that, and I'll do those, the rest of those on my own time, as they are requested. So if you know anybody, if you're listening in another country, I know we have, you know, lots of listeners in Great Britain live because it's late, and a lot of people stay up late in Great Britain. It's all that tea. And there's so much caffeine in tea, they can't get to sleep. You know, you want me to do something? You want me to do a special opening in Ireland, Scotland? Oh, I love Scotland. And you'll know why sometime in the future. I mean, I have lots of reasons for that. More reasons than I did before when I mentioned it. I have over the years, but you haven't been listening all those years. And then Ireland, Scotland, and Great Britain itself, proper. Great Britain. Good evening. No, it's not evening, is it? Oh, yes, it is. It would be evening. It'd be 5 hours. I know Britain is 5 hours ahead of us. We say ahead as if, you know, because their time is later in the day, because it's that part where the globe goes around. Because of that, it's not like they're in the future. They're in the now. It's just a different time, and it's ahead of us. So it's not like they lived the time, hour 11 o'clock, when it's there, 5 a.m. That didn't work like that. Okay? Completely different. We are going to do one thing as we hit the top of the first hour. I told you, you can't, as you got through the first of the 2 hours, because I'm the only one who can do it, and I did it. Got it through you. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name joins the title of the show. The man whose books, I'll tell you more about the books when we come out. We're going to do some stuff and give you a chance to run off to the bathroom, as they say in Brooklyn. Run off to the bathroom. And what I'll do is I'll play what I played. I'll play that little tune because I love that. I love that tune. What is it? Oh, Midnight. Midnight in Moscow. Isn't it? Yeah, Midnight in Moscow by the Village Stompers. I'm going to play this for you guys. What did we do it with the Village Stompers? Yeah, we did the Village Stompers. Yeah.
who also did Washington Square. But we're gonna play this, take a short break, so that you can all go replenish your precious bodily fluids. I gotta get water, you know, and then let water loose. I gotta get water and get rid of water at the same time. My name is Frank Catolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. Stay with this, cause we're coming back for another hour, and I'm the only guy who can get you through that hour.
Catolo Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
I'm Frank Catolo for The Dummy's Guide to the U.S.
You know what happened? Welcome, his name is Frank. I told him his name. During the title of the show, I can't find my iPad, my Android. Got my water, and I got rid of my water. But where the heck? I thought I left it upstairs, and then I couldn't find it. Got the water, came down, I got rid of my water, and I don't know. Can't be lost. Gotta be somewhere. Gotta be somewhere. Oh, I needed that water because I was getting close in here. Well, takes care of that. I'm a little disturbed because I don't know where it might be. Sometimes I'm carrying something like across the room, and because I'm going somewhere, I'm carrying it somewhere else. That's why you would carry it. And what I do is I place it down, and I say, hey, I'll pick it up when I leave this spot and bring it to where I was going to bring it. But then I don't. That's not age. That's just me. You know, and I'm sure you can judge me as others have said, you know, that's you. Cause you're Mr. Zippy Peppy, as someone once used to call Mr. Zippy Peppy. Was it Zippy Peppy? Peppy Zippy? I don't know. Whatever the case may be. The case is, Frank told me his name was the Tyler Show. I'm here to get you through the next hour. I don't know if getting on a Periscope is something we should have done anyway. I'll tell you about the books. I was going to tell you about that. And a couple of things that had been bothering me, or things that had been going on for this second hour, even if I do reiterate some of it. Yeah, so I made notes. The idea was, I was telling you, I was watching, I wasn't really watching it, but it was on in the background while I was sitting in my comfy chair underneath, or to the side of my light with one of my many composition books and some, scrap paper, which is really the other side of a printed racing form. And, I wonder if I put this on again, if I put that on again, we don't want to hear that again. What do you want to hear? Want to hear something else? I'm bothered by the fact that my Android is, and I don't know if we should, maybe that, let's just forget it. We won't go to Periscope. And I'm not going to go on Periscope. One of these nights I should go on Periscope and see what happens. We've done that before with Jeremy Long. If you remember, if you don't, I'm telling you now, we did. You have to believe me. Unless you go back in the archives and find one. I don't know. And that's a good time to remind you again. Juiced Talk. It's JUICEDTALK. JuicedTalk.com. Not only are there archives and past shows that can be streamed there or downloaded. And I would rather you, if you want to download it because you want to listen to it like while you're running or jogging or in your bike or when, that's fine. And I would rather you check other stations, other independent stations, and listen to the show, like if you listen to True Talk Radio. This show's on twice a day on weekdays. So, you know, that way you support what's left of internet radio. Because there's just so few of us left here doing anything like this. Now, you could call that a podcast. You call anything you want. I guess it is, if you're playing it off your pod, which you don't even have a pods anymore. You know, they became podcasts because of the iPod, when people had iPods. And now that people have phones, which has just about every possible device in it, right? I mean, you don't need iPods and you don't need digital clocks. You can't walk. Everything's in. Everything's in there. See? It's going to be bad for you. So, if anybody wants to come hear me sing, if you're listening live tomorrow night, I don't know. I might be singing very low. I sing outside. And when I sing outside, because they make me sing out on the porch because it attracts people. And then they come and they buy coffee and they sit there. But, Wow, now I really wish I had some Young Turk. That sounded horrible because that's not what I meant. I didn't mean Old Turkey either. Or, what is that called? Young Turkey. Or Turkey? Old Turk? No, I meant the stuff I used to drink all the time here. That was, we went through cases of it. The Canadian stuff. What's a Canadian? Now I've forgotten. See that? Okay. Good old Brooklyn drink there. Brooklyn Sounds of Drinking. The coffee, the drink, the what? I don't know, I lost my place. And very odd to happen, but you know, it can happen. I was talking about, watching the show, sitting there watching the show, or the show was on and I was taking notes. It came to mind today when I was to bring this up again, because it's a pop culture point. But every now and then, these days, let's just say these days, this particular territory of time in our history of pop culture, there is a parade of reboots, and that is remakes, we used to call them, of various things, movies that were once done, filmed, and there are some plays that became movies. There is now, when there are movies that become plays. You know, that used to be the progression, okay? Someone would write a play, let's say, well, it doesn't matter if it was a musical or not, and the play would go to Broadway. I mean, the play could go anywhere else, but I mean, just in terms of getting the attention of Hollywood, to, you know, address the fact that there's an audience for the play. I don't mean necessarily the audience that's going to the play, but if you have a play and it's a hit on Broadway, only a certain amount of people could see it, unless it runs 10 years. The amount of people that could see one movie when it's released, wow, what is it? Is it 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, 40 times? I don't know. I've never done that math, and I don't know whoever has. But it would be that, you know, you write a play, and then the play gets produced on Broadway. If it becomes a hit, and Hollywood goes, hey, we can make that into a movie. Yay. So people who saw the play get the movie version. And you know, actually you don't. I bet you there's a lot of young people, a lot of millennials and other what's the one after that? Gen Gens. Whatever the one is, Power Puff Generation or whatever the next one. Who don't know that certain movies were originally plays because they just saw the movies. And some of them haven't even seen the movies because we are decades away from the time I am talking about. These days, you know, sure, plays become movies. But these days, more time movies become plays. And even cartoon movie, animated movies become plays. Look at The Lion King. Disney cartoon super hit as a movie becomes a Broadway play. Now all the people who have seen the movie go, let's go watch people be cartoon characters on stage live, and there's more music. I guess I don't know, I didn't see the play, but I'm sure they put more music to it. So they add and subtract things from the original source material, which it may be a play, but these days it goes the other way around. You know, they make a play out of that. Movies made into plays, it used to be the other way around. It was very rare. Oh, no, it wasn't. No, wait a second. But when it comes to the classics, it wasn't that rare, because obviously Shakespeare, they were made into movies over and over and over and over and over again. There were things that were plays, Broadway hit plays that were made into movies in the 40s and 50s. I've talked about a couple of them many times. I've talked about this wonderful play, which wasn't a super hit on Broadway, but it ran a while, called Boy Meets Girl, which became a movie, although they found stars. There weren't stars in the play, but it's a great play. It's a funny play, and it became a funny movie with James Cagney and Pat O'Brien. And a lot of you in Generation are sitting there going, why, who are they? I don't know. Is anything like Little Peep? Was Little Peep in it? I don't mean to mock you. But you know what? Get used to it, because everybody gets the same treatment from Cotolo in Cotolo Chronicles, as I'm chronicling. Do it to myself. So there were many plays, because, you know, all the mediums are looking for material. And now, forget about it now, because you got all the series, and you got Hulu, and Netflix, and Hooflix, and Netlu, and you got Breaking Point, and there's all, I don't even know the names of some of these places. Stream it, take it, Wonderland, I don't even know all of them. But there's so many. And of course, they need material. So they take from old, not old, but, you know, already ready-made material. and they spice it up or cut it into pieces or whatever they do. They reboot it. They remake it. Like this one here, the Ray Romano. Now, I haven't seen any of these things. I'm not crazy about watching them. I don't watch these things. But there was the movie called, now I don't remember the name of the movie. Go Get Lost or Get Harry or Get Spooky or whatever his name was. It was a John Travolta movie. Get Shorty? Is that it? Get Shorty. I think that's it. Not was it, is it? It was a movie, not even a big hit movie, but they took it because it's already there. Let's pump it up, put all the stuff in it, make it into a TV series. See? So all this stuff goes on. Why do I bring this up? I bring this up because I see while I'm shopping, you know, when I'm shopping in the big giant store, and I like the biggest one, not because this place is called Giant and it's a giant store, but nobody seems to like the store that feels like you're in an airplane hangar. No, not an airplane hangar, a warehouse. Well, a warehouse where airplanes are hanging, somewhere like that. You know, I like that place. I like the grids and the, it's not like Walmart or Comart or Costco or Walsco or whatever those other places. Although I like those places too. Even Home Depot is like that. Home Depot is like going into a big, and like there's a small airplane hangar. That's a small airplane hangar. Well, we got a small airplane, so yeah. Even small airplanes even go in big airplane hangars. An airplane hangar is big, period. I don't care how small your plane may be. You go into a big hangar. If you got small, they put more planes in one hangar. If it's a big plane, maybe only one plane fits in the hangar. But there's no small plane hangars. There's just airplane hangars. We used to love friends of mine and mine, including Mr. Tom Savino, who you might know from Savino Veritas online and on radio. We used to play in an airplane hangar, a Christmas party. We had a band, we had a rock band. We used to play in an airplane hangar. Cause that's where these people, cause they were airplane workers. No, they were people who worked in airplanes, but people who work in airplane hangars. What do they do in airplane hangars? I guess they make sure that the airplanes fit, that they're what? That they're, parked right, that they're fixed, they oil them, and maybe they also do the, you know, maintenance. All that stuff. And so there's something about big, large, wide spaces that I like. I'm not agoraphobic. Some people, you put them in the middle of a big field and they freak out. Too much space. It's the opposite of being claustrophobic, is agoraphobic. Wide open spaces. You get lost, you get dizzy, you fall down, you get scared and frightened, you have a nervous breakdown maybe. That's agoraphobic. I'm not. I'm the opposite. I love big, wide open spaces. The best thing when I was a kid about going to a baseball game was to be sitting in this wide place, you know, this big place. I always wanted to be on the field. And when I played, like I told you before, in Brooklyn we used to play, when I was puny and pretty. I was pretty puny, but, you know, used to play tackle football in a place called the Parade Grounds. Now, a place called the Parade Grounds, you can assume, if you've never been there, you can assume and assume correctly that it's big enough to have a parade. A parade is very big, right? A lot of things in a parade. There's floats or cars and people marching. You can't have a parade down a side street, which could be an old Roger Miller song. Oh, you can't have parade on side street. You can't have parade on side street. You can't have parade on a hot side street. You can be happy if you want to. And I used to love the parade grounds. This big field, used to be on it, okay? I'm not a good spectator. I think I've told you that before. I like to participate. I'm not a passive person. I don't like passive activities. I like active activities. That's wrong, isn't it? Active activities? I like activities, not passive, not watching activities, which would be passive, because that's passive, okay? So that's what I said when, you know, went to see a professional baseball game or a football game, and I've seen both of them. I liked better to be playing, even at my own level, or just be on the field, you know? as opposed to watching it. And I can't watch my TV anymore. But you know all that stuff. You know, if you've heard this before, and you know I never talk really about sports unless it's a story of youth and a story of pop culture or something. Okay. So what's my point? My point is I was in a big wide open space. Oh, okay. So I love this giant store. And that's two ways to do it. I'm not doing a commercial for Giant. You don't even know Giant. Is Giant only in the East Coast here? I don't know. You know, there are all sorts of different chains of supermarkets. Giant is the one that happens to be in the areas where I shop. Where I shop for groceries. And they open this new one, and it's gigantic, and it's like an airplane hangar, and I like it. So I go down all the aisles. I go up and down. Now, you know, that's not, you know, they say go up the aisle, but you don't know which way is up because you're not really going up. You could be going up the aisle when people think, you know, that's down for the person coming the other way. They're going down the aisle, you're going up the aisle. And really going up and down the aisle, it's the same thing. I'm going up an aisle. If you say that to somebody, they know that you're walking on the aisle in the store. Okay? They know. They know there's no up and down. It's not like there's hills. The aisles have hills. What kind of a store would that be where the aisles have hills? Then you would literally be going up or down. A lot of people would fall. People would be injured. The place would be sued. It would just be a very poor architectural function to have going. So really when you go up and down aisles, all that means is you are going two different ways on the aisle. And yet, right? Yet, we don't, you're up an aisle is someone's down an aisle because they went the other way. You see what I'm saying? You're going up and down, you're not going up, you're not going down. You are moving through the aisle from one side to the other, starting at one side or the other. Okay. So I cleared that up. So you know that I'm not going up or down an aisle. I am walking through on, could you be walking through an aisle from one point to another? And on either side of me are goods, because that's what grocery stores sell. Goods. Dry goods. Actually, they have wet goods too, really, because they have a huge display where you could buy live lobsters. You know, there's no other food in that store that's live, that's alive at the time of purchase. Think about it. The lobsters are in this, you know, obviously in the seafood section. Where are they going to put them? Even though they're meat. Actually, they are meat. The lobsters have meat on their bodies. And yet we don't call it meat. We call it shellfish. It's fish because they're under the sea. But it's meat. To a lobster, their bodies are meat. That's lobster meat. And yet, it's not meat. And people who won't eat, who have a religious calling, can't eat on Friday, they can't eat meat because there's something religious about it. I know, it used to happen when I was growing up too, but the point is, they can eat fish, but actually, or shellfish. They could eat lobster meat because it's fish. Because if it's immersed in water and it lives, it's not technically meat. It's fish. And shellfish, as you say, are fish that lives in shells. You know, this is how I think, and this is what I understand to be true, and I do that and do this in my mind as I'm speaking to you and telling you how I'm explaining this. You know, it's not all pretty obvious, Frank. Yeah, but you have to think about it and understand it as a concept. So, where was I? There are goods on either side, in boxes and in cans and in bottles. Some bottles are plastic, some are glass. All right? But there is an aisle that doesn't have food, but has goods. Now, goods can be food. Meat can be fish. Meat can be fish, right? Although lobster in that case is the only live meat you could buy at a grocery store. The meat of the fish can be meat, but the goods that are packaged, let's just say, in various kinds of packages. Let me take another sip of this water while I'm going through here because, all right, but sometimes there are goods that aren't edible. Much like to eat paperback books or pens and erasers. I used to know kids in grade school, kids used to eat erasers. They had these, yeah, they had, whether it was at the end of their pencil or they had the ones you just hold in your hands and put in a little pen case or whatever. They'd chew it, and they didn't realize they were eating the rubber. All right, because, everybody, they liked the sensation. Didn't realize they were eating a lot of stuff. They liked the sensation of the rubber in their mouths against their teeth. It's, yeah, because they're kids, and kids are oral, and then we go right back to Freud, or to the comedy team, Oral and Hardy. I think that is just where you could go. So I like this place, and I always go down. See, I was going to say down the aisle. See, I always go walk through the aisle, through it. I walk on the aisle that has the books because they have paperbacks and not hardcover, but they, there's paperbacks and there's the other cover, which is not hardcover, but it's harder than paperback. It's not paper. or it's harder paper. But it's not me. All right. And I reminded myself, because I knew this before, but it reminded me as I was shopping, I just look at the books for various reasons. I would see who's written what, and I would see if I had any names, or what's number one and number six or whatever, on the commercial level. Oh, and what I do, I see the new book. It's not a new book. Remember, I'm talking about rebooting things. There's a book that was written and a very big hick a long time ago, and they have an entire story about this book and me. Frank Atola, the man's name who joins the title of the show. Okay. There's a book, and the title is Papillon. Papillon. I can say it twice like Grandpa Barry. Papillon. Papillon. Papillon means butterfly in French. French? Wait a second. Are they listening in France? Dun, 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 dun. Wait, what is it? That was the Star Spangled Banner. I didn't mean that. I meant, dun, what is it? Wait. Dun, 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 dun. Le Marseille. Dun, 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 dun. Love, love. Wrong song. All right. Papillon. It's a story of Henri Charrier. I hope I'm saying it right. Charrier. I think it came out in the 70s. And it's the story of the only man who ever escaped the Devil's Island. He was put away in a French penal colony. I forget exactly where it was located, but out in the Bahamas, somewhere where it was hot and there was monsoons and rains. He was convicted of killing or doing something, and he went to Devil's Island. Now, the prisoners who went to Devil's Island, I guess 98.99% of whatever, died there. Most of them were life sentences anyway. But that didn't, because of that, they always tried to escape. One way or another. And this is a place surrounded by water. It's an island. It's Devil's Island, for God's sake. It's called Devil's Island because this is a hell to anybody who had to live there. In this tropical, horrible place with the walls and things. It's just terrible. And it's surrounded by water, obviously, and cliffs. There's cliffs. So, you know, these guys just couldn't get off. And if they got off and went into the water, they would drown. Nobody ever got off. Henri Charrier, who, as far as I know, was innocent, but got a bum deal and had a bunch of bum lawyers and somebody who double-crossed and what have you, wound up being accused and indicted and sentenced to Devil's Island for this horrible thing they didn't do. And so he spent his time in Devil's Island, I don't remember the duration, trying to get out. This is a wonderful book if you want to read it, but listen to this. If you don't want to read it, although I think you should always read, remember, and the book is out now. Here's this book. And I went, that's not Papillon, because my image of Papillon in pop culture, not of Henri Cherrier. Yeah, Cherrier, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. Let's just call him Henri. Not of Henri's book. And I could say that too, because I met him once. At once, how many times would he want to meet me, you know? But that's a story in itself, and I don't know if we have time to tell that story. My point is this. They brought back Papillon. Now they reissue books that are technically, you know, classics or what have you. And this book, the only book he ever wrote, he wasn't a writer, he was a prisoner, prisoner of Devil's Island. And I don't know why he didn't call it Prisoner of Devil's Island. Oh, he called it that because Papillon. That was his name. I think because he had a tattoo of a butterfly. And one of the guys said, Papillon. There was a movie in the 70s, early 70s, somewhere near there, with Steve McQueen, and those of you who have your composition books, or whatever, your Cthulhu Chronicles notebooks, and don't know the name Steve McQueen. It's not, there's a director out there named Steve McQueen in contemporary film, but that's not him, talking about an actor who has left us. Steve McQueen played Henri, and his friend on that island was played by Dustin Hoffman, a little creature, whatever. I forgot his name. You know, details, as you get older, details just, well, that's not true either. So I'm just saying details, you know, fade away. They don't. Sometimes details stay and the entire, and the big picture, gets cloudy. Okay, Papillon is the story of this, of Henri going there, why he goes there, blah, 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 and then the time he spends there trying to escape the failures, and eventually how he escapes, which is just absolutely fascinating. No man but him ever escaped. Now, there is no more Devil's Island. The French don't have this penal colony. It's a horrible place where people, with these, they were criminals and what have you, but, you know, they were really treated like worse than the animals that were there. And they had to learn to live there and with one another. It's just, you know, no modern conveniences. Okay. Horrible place. And it just inhumane. And the French government eventually saw it. They said that this is no good. But they said that in French. This is no good. This is horrible. This is terrible. And so they got rid of it. I don't know what, that plot of land is probably still there. I have no idea what it's doing there. They don't have tours, I'm sure, like they do of like Alcatraz. You go to San Francisco and you can take a tour of what used to be Alcatraz. There's no more Alcatraz. Alcatraz is there, but there's no more people in there, you know, serving time. There's no more criminals. And, but Devil's Island, now unlike Alcatraz, is not, you could see Alcatraz, and obviously if there's tours, you take a ferry, you know, go over in San Francisco Bay, and you go over there. And you could still see it, because it's not that far away compared to Devil's Island, which was in the middle of gosh damn, you know, French acquired water somewhere, and you know, couldn't tour it. I don't know what's there now. It would be fascinating if somebody did something, and they might have done something like a documentary, and I just don't know it. Henri, okay, so Henri writes his book when he gets back. It's a big book called Papillon. It's a story of the man who's him, okay? Now, Papillon, the book that's on in the book section of the aisle of goods in the giant market, I think we pretty much have established what goes on there, and I always go to that particular spot to see, and there's the book in, not soft cover, that's what it's called. There's hardcover, soft cover, and paperback. Hardcover, soft cover, paperback. On the wall, hardcover, soft cover, paperback, if one should be bought, then if it's soft wish, okay. And so I went, yeah, and I saw the book. I did not know the book was reissued, but I had heard before that the movie was remade. And I'll tell you something. I'll bet you dollars of donuts and you buy the donuts that if I go to here, Patheon, P-A-P, yeah, Patheon, there's a trailer, Patheon, not for the new one. Yeah, Patheon, official trailer. There's a site, you guessed it, www.patheon.movie.com, I guess, right? Here's a 3-minute trailer. I'm just going to take, just put this on here for a second. I don't know if.
I love you.
Here's
say that again.
You're under arrest
for the murder of Rowan LeGrand.
Murder. It was murder.
I was with her all night.
Come on, let's go.
Poppy! It was murder.
This
please.
Is a frame up.
See? He's framed.
Hey, pop him, right?
I don't know this actor.
Money? Get some. Never escape without it.
Louis Degas. Guy's a millionaire.
Degas.
Long.
That was his name.
I wanna ask any of my friend. The money you're carrying.
Money.
Could keep you safe.
Degas. There's a lot of action. Look at this. You know why? Because these guys hit and they...
Keep me alive. I'll underwrite any escape you can arrange. Uh-huh. Something tells me you can be quite savage.
Oh, this is a bad... Oh, well, he's...
You
he's,
are the property of the penal administration of French Guiana.
See? French Guiana, that's
no
where...
way off.
That's where... There's no
always
way.
A way.
There's always a way, says Papillon, based on the incredible true story.
I know many of you are thinking about escape.
This is your best chance.
Feel free to try whenever you like.
Yeah, they say try.
I need to come with you.
All the different
there are two
ways.
Guardians who are always on duty.
Oh, wow.
Bush, where the best thing that can happen to you is starvation.
Ooh, huh?
Or you could choose the sea.
What's it good for?
It's my friend.
Where sharks were always hungry.
Shark? Oh, geez.
If you manage to survive your first attempt, you'll get 2 years in solitary.
Did you hear that?
You'll get a life sentence at Devil's Island.
2 years in solitary he spent.
Strange things happen there.
2 years.
Especially to those who came to hope.
Papillon. This is a lot more stylized than the first one. There's all sorts of Charlie Hunan. Hunan? Charlie Hunan and Rami Malek. Papillon! Yeah, all right. Nice. Papillon. What does it say?
If I ever get out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna live a different kind of life.
I'm gonna live a different kind of life. Papillon. Coming soon. This was the trailer, see? From Bleecker Street. You know, I bet you if we looked it up or we went to the... maybe they shot this there. Maybe they did some work on the... they wouldn't have to do much work because the French Guiana. That's the same we found out. But here... Now, that was it. Now, I wonder if I do original Papillon. And I see, if I give you an idea here. What's this? Steve McQueen. Look at Steve McQueen. Whoa. Wait, come on. Steve, full movie. You can get the full movie on here. Papillon, full movie in English. No, where is the Steve McQueen, Dustin Hopper, 1973, Papillon ending, Papillon tattoo. But maybe they have a. Oh, here it is. Classic trailer. This is the original trailer, 1973. See, I told you, 1973. 2 years in solitary. The guy lived, and he lived to escape. Oh my God! Oh. My God. You can, of course, watch it. I'm not, this is not a, commercial, but you know, YouTube now shows movies and you could do it. Let's see the classic trailer here for the original Papillon and then I'll tell you.
As close to the edge as you can safely run it.
What's this? Papillon.
Don't get your arc, Tom.
The original logo said Papillon. It said Papillon in the shape of a butterfly. There's Dustin Hoffman.
Here we go. First team.
You can see these.
Quiet,
quiet. They're shooting it. This is long. This is too. Here we go. Oh, that great music then. I wonder.
After 5 years as an international bestseller,
here.
It comes to the screen.
Here you go.
Unquestionably, the greatest adventure of escape ever filmed.
Yeah. It is.
Steve McQueen. Dustin Hoffman.
Ah.
Papillon.
Papillon. I do trailers, movie trailers on the radio. Huh? Who does that?
Keep me alive until we land in Guyana, and I'll underwrite any escape you care to arrange.
Steve McQueen. Oh, guys, just dropping dead, walking. How could this happen? I mean, that the guy got away. It's a very visual thing. Oh, look, they have a guillotine.
Welcome to the penal colony of French Guiana.
Oh, welcome. Oh! They make them work.
Whose prisoners you are,
get moving.
And from which there is no escape.
No escape.
How much would it cost?
$3,000 in advance. Which you pay to me, and I pay to Pascal, who provides everything.
Oh.
You double-cross me, I'll kill you.
Whoa, yeah, they have all these plots, you know, money.
What charges in this one as far as Panama?
Oh, the pat. It was on his chest. The tattoo. There they go, trying to escape. They show all these pictures of them trying
Steve
to escape.
McQueen.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Two men with nothing in common but a will to live.
Just a will to live. Two men.
And a place to die.
It's up to you.
It's up to you, man. Papillon.
You're worth just as much dead as you are alive.
Ooh.
Make no pretense at rehabilitation here. We're not priests, we're processors.
Whoa, we're not...
A meatpacker processes live animals into edible ones. We process dangerous men into harmless ones.
There we go with the meat again. Meat. Process meat.
We accomplish by breaking you.
Break them.
What do you think? Did he make it or didn't he?
Oh, I say his chances are very poor, you know.
Is that all you've got to say?
2 years.
What do you expect me to say? That man risked his life to save mine.
The ordeals of prison.
I want that name, and I want it now. Then you'll die.
Oh, you'll die!
The dreams of freedom.
I like that music.
The dangers of escape.
Oh, yeah, quite dangerous. Did they have trailers this long? Just like 3 minutes. Who has trailers that are 3 minutes anymore?
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen.
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman.
Papillon.
Franklin.
The greatest adventure of escape ever filmed.
Based on the book by Henri Charrier. Oh, yeah. A Franklin J. Schaefer movie. Phil Rangers. Oh! So I don't know about the new one. I just know that it's very different because, you know, a movie made in 1973 and the movie made now is going to be very different. The way it's shot, the way it's, you know, whatever. But I have 15 minutes. I don't know. This story would probably go on too long. But let's do this, and then we'll end the show with this story. And I'll put all these other notes I had for another time. Another time, another place. So I was working at WMCA in New York City. WMCA, which was a rock and roll turned talk show. Radio. Rock and roll turn talk show format turn talk. Rock and roll turn talk format. When this book was a hardcover book and it was big. 73 was a movie. So this is, wow, when was this even before? This had to be before because it was a bestseller over there and then it came over here, France, and it came over here. Working at WMCA was at 777 7th Avenue. I swear that was the address. 777 7th Avenue. I don't know, maybe it was the 7th floor, I don't remember. But I was manning the phones, and that had a number of different hats when you manned the phones. At nighttime, I think I've told you before, because I've done shows about working with Long John Nebel late at night. And sometimes it went into the morning, and sometimes I had different shifts where I would take care of various things and at the desk where the phones came in, answering the phones, and then putting people on, sending them over to people on the air, or doing the weather. All this, that doesn't matter, though. Here's what happens. One morning, And, you know, it was just talk radio. And there were many, many guests on these talk radios. It wasn't just like, talk radio today, where a guy goes on and goes, you know, or like, you know, the Fatso guy goes on. I shouldn't say that, but you know who I'm talking about. Rusho Bimbo, Rusho Bulbo gets on and goes, America, everybody thinks, you know, that wasn't all that stuff. It was just guys, they were, you know, as you know, there were people on the left, people on the right. Anyway. There was a luncheonette, they used to call them, a coffee shop, let's just say coffee shop, inside and kind of outside of the floor level, the street level, as it's called, of 777 7th Avenue. And you would go in there, and I would go in there before I went upstairs, or I'd take a break if I had, that was my lunch period, because I worked all night, and my lunch was breakfast, or whatever, you know, and I'd go and sit there and have coffee or what have you. Or sometimes when I left before I hit the subway to go home, because I lived in Brooklyn and that's in Manhattan, before that I would stop and have a little bite to eat and then take the subway. I did not get nauseated eating and then taking the subway. Okay, here we go. I was just used to that. I was sitting there and, it was a counter. There was no tables. There were no tables. It was just one big counter. People sat on the counter. So I sat down on the counter. I don't remember what I was eating, but I ordered some coffee. Maybe I had some eggs or whatever. And I was just sitting there, not looking into the street, because the counter, when you sat, you looked into the lobby of 777 7th Avenue. I think it was 777 7th. I think that was it anyway, in any event, in all event, and certainly in this event, it was 7. So I sat there. I was sitting there. And there was an empty seat to my right. And a man walked in, and he sat next to me. He was a clean man. It wasn't like a bum off the street. I didn't even know he had a, it was summer. Or, you know, spring or whatever, because I worked there. And he had a, you know, as I remember it, as I recall it, it was a beige or light sports jacket on, and, you know, conservative and yet summery type, neat dress, right? I don't remember, you know, tie or whatever, and I don't remember looking at him when he sat down. But as he sat down, he put to his left, which was, he was sitting in my right, so on the counter, he puts a book. He places a book very gently on the counter. Because there's nowhere to put a book. You don't want to put the book on the floor where your feet are. You don't know, it might be, you know, there's nowhere to put the book. But he has a book and he's sitting down and whatever he's going to do, eat, drink or whatever. And he puts the book down. And I'm drinking coffee or what have you. And now I'm, you know, just sitting there. And I can't help but see the book. It's a thick book. It's a hardcover book. Remember, there's hardcover, softcover, and paperback. This was hardcover. Sitting right there. Actually, the book doesn't sit, right? It's standing because the book can't stand. So it's sit. The book is placed on the counter. It's placed on the counter. It's the best I can say. It's not sitting there. It's not going up the counter or down the counter. Okay. And I look, and it says in big red letters, or what it might have been red letters. I remember it being white cover and red letters. That's what I remember. And of course, as I said, some details could be completely true and or in remembrance or whatever. And those letters spell Papillon. Okay. So I knew of the book. I knew of the story because I was that kind of a person, and I read about books coming out, and I was still trying. I was early college trying to write and do things, and so I knew what was happening in the pop culture world. I was also in a band, the same band that played in the airplane hangar. You know, they don't hang airplanes. Okay, come on. We're going to do this and then end the show and move on, because I'm the only person who can take you to this point anyway. I'm the only person who can take you out of this show. So, what happens? I looked at the book. And he ordered something, I don't know, whatever. Waitress came over, chewing gum. And I don't know why I did this. And it was probably one of the dumbest things I ever did. But I did not imagine that I was doing something stupid, because I was trying to be friendly. Those counters, you couldn't help but sit close to someone. They're there, and, you know, maybe you strike up a conversation, and there's a extremely popular hardcover book. Maybe it was number one at the time. I don't know, but there it's... And so I turned my head a bit, because it didn't take a bit. There's very clever people sitting very close to one another. We're sitting, the book's not sitting, we sit. And he turned his head to the left, mine or right, while he was drinking coffee or what have you, saw me looking at him. And I said, and now remember, I'm paraphrasing whatever it is I said, although this is very simple stuff. This is not going to be a complex conversation. Believe me, that's not part of the story. But I'm going to tell you, man. I kind of had an attitude. I didn't want to just pick up the book. I knew about this book. You know, I'm going to be, I know about this book. I know a little bit about it or what have you. And remember, the cover is there. And he's drinking coffee, whatever it was. It's a quick meal he's having. He hasn't ordered stuff he has to wait for. I remember that because, he would shortly leave. So I said to him, he looks at me. And I can't help but say this because I'm a snob, I guess, or I wanted to make him know whatever. I don't know why I behaved this way or what I did. But here's what I did. You judge. I said, this is quite a book. I've heard a lot about this book. This guy, and I'm saying it. This guy's name is Papillon, this adventure. And this guy, I haven't read the book. I don't really want to read it because it's about a guy who escaped from Devil's Island. So I'm feeling like good because I know about the book and I know the core of the book and I know the impact. I know this. You're right. I'm saying, yeah, this is about a guy who escaped from Devil's Island. Have you read this book? And he looked at me deep in the eyes. And he had finished, just sipped his coffee and whatever he had. I don't remember what he was drinking. And he put it down. And just looked at me and there was this little silence. And I kind of picked up the book because it was awkward. And when picking up the book, I turned it around. And now I was looking at the back cover. And in those days... And I don't know if they do this anymore, or why they did it, or if they do it, or whatever. But in the back is a black and white photograph of a man, and he's got a beard or whatever, you know, and what have you. And so as I said, have you read it? And I picked it up and looked at the back of the book, back cover, looking at this man, and then I looked up at him. And as I looked up at him and the picture quickly, and the last thing I said to him was, have you read it? He gently took the book from my hand, started to stand up, put some change on the counter as a tip, and he said, I wrote the book. And he put it under his arm, and he strolled away, and I'm like feeling... like the biggest idiot in the world. Here I was, this kid, at 20-something, trying to impress this fellow who sat next to me in a coffee shop to say, like, yeah, I know about that book, all about that book, and I'm going to say, you know, so if you're ready, I didn't tell him I didn't read it or I wanted to read it. I kind of made him maybe believe that I did. You know, it was like, yeah, I know about this book and what have you, you know. And who knows where the conversation was going to go. And it was goddamn, that was Henri Charrier. It was him. The man known as Papillon. The only man to have escaped the Devil's Island was sitting next to me in a normal, civilized coffee shop, drinking coffee or whatever he was doing, and that was him. I was frozen. I didn't apologize. I didn't, you know, walk after him. I was turning all sorts of colors. What an idiot. I was beating myself. What an idiot. What a conversation I could have had right next to Henri Cherrier. And I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it. Instead, I'm a young, cocky jerk. And that was him. In my life, I've met people who are fascinating. I've met people who have celebrity. But I blew that one, kids. Because who knows, for the few minutes that he was there, what I could have asked him, what he could have said, and how I should have said, if I knew it was him, or found out it was him, just said, wow, I've been like, this is fascinating. And I would have heralded him. But no. No, because I'm an idiot. I was an idiot. I sat next to the man who escaped from Devil's Island. And his story is out again. If you want to watch the original movie and then the new one, it's out there. I'm telling you, it's great. The story is great. I don't know about that second movie, the new movie out there. The book is out again. You could have gotten the book anyway, but the book is out again. Wow, what a jerk. Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show, who worked in radio at the time, is a jerk. Now, you know what he was doing there. Obviously, I found out later that he went up and did one of the shows. And I couldn't possibly, you know, I wasn't going to go near him. I'm the idiot. I didn't apologize. I did not know how to handle that then. Life changes. Life, things go on. You grow up or you don't or whatever. Papillon. I met Papillon. Yes, my name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show, and I can admit that he was a jerky young kid sitting next to Papillon himself. I blew it. Go buy the books, my books, buy his book. Still around. I didn't look. I think he has passed. Normally, not from Devil's Island or Solitary 2 years. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I'll be back if all things work out and life moves in the direction that drives me right back into this seat. I will be back again next week on a Thursday night. Go listen to this show anywhere else you can. Go to Juice Talk. Go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Go to Facebook. I don't go there a lot, but you'll know what's happening when I'm there and tell you what's on and whatever. Good night, Mrs. Erstwhile, wherever you may be located, and you can learn about Mrs. Erstwhile. Go buy License to Skill. There's a commercial inside of that. Guests are coming. You'll know about what's happening when it's happening. So I said goodnight to Mrs. Erstwhile. Yes. Okay. I got you here. I'm the only guy who could get you here, and I got you here. And I'll get you there next time with a guest or not. But right now, just as speechless as I was when Papillon left the table, I have nothing more to say.